This is Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil.
The Scripture calls on us to pray without ceasing. Now, I suppose this could mean that we should be praying every minute of every day. But it seems to me that in a practical sense that would be impossible. I believe to pray without ceasing means to not give up on prayer. This is illustrated by one of the stories Jesus told. It was about a widow and an unjust judge. Now, at first reading, it may seem that it is teaching that God doesn't want to answer prayer, and that we must nag him in order to get him to respond. But this is not the point at all. In the parable, the woman needed to have a wrong made right. Someone was taking advantage of her. She was asking that the judge would, in the words of Scripture, avenge her. In today's language, she needed the judge to put a restraining order on the people who were making life hard for her, or to require them to pay monetary damages. The woman was appealing for justice. Apparently, the judge wasn't doing anything about her problem. One lesson Jesus is giving is that if a corrupt judge will finally give in and help a person who is persistently asking for help, our Heavenly Father, who is much more interested in our well-being, is willing and anxious to do what's best for us. Another lesson that is perhaps the most important as far as our prayers are concerned is that the lady didn't give up asking. To use a modern term, she continued to appeal the case. She didn't accept the unacceptable. She persisted in her appeal to the judge until justice was done. It's here that there is a special significance to us in respect to what it means to pray without ceasing. This world is full of pain and suffering. It's hard to stay sensitive to it all. And so we tend to develop emotional calluses to much that's going on in order to protect ourselves from being too affected. But the temptation to become emotionally and spiritually callous can work against us, especially in the matter of prayer. I'm sure most of us have someone in our lives who has left the Lord. We carry these people high on our hearts and we pray for their conversion. However, friend, it's possible to become tired of praying for them. Of course, we do continue to pray, but maybe not with all the feelings we once had when they first fell away. A backslider once declared to me that it was his opinion that his mother and father should accept him the way he was and stop hoping that he would change. I looked at him with tears in my eyes, which brought tears to his, and I told him his parents would always love him but could never accept his unsaved condition. I assured him his mother and father would not cease to pray until he had returned to the Lord. And so Scripture calls on us not to tire of praying. Just because nothing happens at once doesn't mean God is denying our prayers. It sometimes takes time to get in trouble, and sometimes it takes time, sometimes years, to get out. In many cases, the devil has been quite successful in turning off the saints' prayers of intercession. He does this by causing them to become so accustomed to the way things are that many have simply given up. They seem to have accepted the abnormal as normal. They have chosen to accept the best of the worst. The unacceptable has somehow now become acceptable. To pray without ceasing means we must be willing to continue to suffer. We must be willing to continue to cry. We cannot allow our emotions to be desensitized to the state of the lost or to the sin that surrounds us on every side. Sometimes we wish we didn't have to look anymore. We wish we could wake up one day and it would all be gone. But my friends, that is not to be. Our example, Jesus, was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He foresaw that in this world we would have tribulation and sorrow and suffering. As we suffer, we must continue to plead with the Lord day and night for deliverance for ourselves and for our loved ones. When we don't plead anymore, it can mean we have ceased to notice, that we've accepted the unacceptable. Perhaps worse yet, we may have ourselves caught the spiritual disease we were praying about in the life of one of our loved ones. I suppose you've heard about the disease of leprosy. These days they call it Hansen's disease. Leprosy affects the ability to feel pain. A person who has leprosy doesn't feel it when he gets burned. He senses no pain if a finger becomes infected. A leper can slam his hand in a car door and feel nothing. And so he will have no incentive to treat his hand for the break or the tissue damage. You know, when you think about it, pain is necessary in this world of accident and sin. Pain is actually a safeguard to protect us from destroying ourselves. Our tendency is to try to turn off the pain in our lives. Rather than to try to turn off the pain, we should first be interested in finding out what's causing it. Pain, you see, was meant to be a warning that something was wrong. To be able to pray without ceasing, we must be in pain. We must be feeling compassion and sorrow, both for our own condition and for the condition of others. I fear sometimes we get tired of praying. We want to get on with our lives. But the Scripture says Jesus lives ever to make intercession for us. And we are called, as long as God shall give us breath, to pray and to make intercession for others. Now there's another element to persistent prayer. Imagine what would happen if the next instant after we prayed, God always did what we asked. Do you see how this could be dangerous for our spiritual lives and for our relationship with Him as well? Remember, we do not know how to pray as we ought to. We are selfish by nature. The Scripture says we intend to pray for selfish reasons. We can even be praying for the right thing for the wrong reasons. And so if God were to answer all our prayers in an instant, it would begin to give us the idea that we were in charge and not Him. We would think we were in the driver's seat, so to speak. You've heard of the expression, when I say frog, you jump. Oh no, prayer is not to get God to do our will, but to bring us around to accept His. Now, I know there are some who subscribe to the idea of what they call name it and claim it. Now, this attitude tends to use faith as a weapon against God's will. Whatever you want, they tell us, you can get it if you pray and have enough faith. But all this is not what prayer is about. The positive results a person may see or receive from using this presumptuous prayer strategy may not be from God at all, but may very well give us blessings, but from the dark side. It's well to remember that just because a person prays for something and it happens, doesn't mean that God answered the prayer. The Scripture says that in the last days, the devil would do signs and wonders. And what would be more effective than getting people to do His will by taking over their prayer life? And so the delay we often have in receiving an answer to our prayers is necessary so that we will not forget who is in charge, and so that we will not try to exploit God and to impose our will on Him. A delay is often necessary for us to be able to get things into perspective and to put first things first. If you are experiencing what seems to be a delay in answers to your prayer, don't give up or think that God doesn't hear or He doesn't care. Rather, we should see the delay as something that may take some time, because as you know, God's purposes know no haste or delay. Or perhaps God needs to do something in our lives before He can work effectively in the lives of those for whom we are praying. And so, to pray without ceasing means to keep on praying. Answering is God's business. Your business and my business is to continue to pray. Our marching orders, then, are to pray and not to get discouraged and to not give up. I'd like to ask you a few rather personal questions now, if you don't mind. The first one would be, are you at this time discouraged in your prayers for someone who's on your heart? And as a result, have your prayers for that person become mechanical through the years and perhaps even lost some fervor? And then I guess I could carry it even further. Have you even given up praying for anyone? But let me ask another question. If you had all the money you needed and were healthy and strong, and all your loved ones were active in Christian service, then what would you be praying about? That's a good question, isn't it? And so let me invite you. Thank Jesus for never giving up on you. Ask him to forgive you when you get tired of praying and to give you strength to continue to cry and not to accept the unacceptable. And as you pray for someone the Lord has laid on your hearts, examine your own life to see if there's anything there that could be a stumbling block that might be keeping that person from returning to the Lord. I guess we could put it this way. Is your relationship with that person consistent with your prayers for them? Let us pray. Oh, Holy Father, we have such burdens on our hearts for our loved ones. In fact, we've prayed for so long and so hard, sometimes we've gotten tired of praying. Lord, give us strength to continue to pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil. If you'd like more information on this program, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 800-752-3226.